the Gregor Podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chevrolet. This month is Upgrader Month. Upgrade to a new Chevrolet with new safety and technology features, lower maintenance for the same or better payment at Lakewood Chev. The Edmonton Oilers, one lineup change tonight. Slepyshev is in. Pekarinen is out. But do you think Benoit Pouliot had some sort of personal matter? It seemed very strange that on a, quote, optional, as Todd McLellan called, there was only one player not out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't have any info to suggest anything, you know, that it was anything. Yeah, I don't know if it was something personal or not. What I will agree with is that it was an optional skate today, and it is a little bit odd that he would not take the optional. So my thought would have been maybe a ding or something he's nursing. We know he just did come off of, being injured, so maybe he's tweaked something. I would lean more towards assuming that it would be an injury of some sort. So I don't have any info about any personal issues, but it was odd. It would be odd for him to just not skate on an optional before a game like this. He hasn't been on the ice a whole lot compared to the rest of his team. So that struck me as a little bit odd today. I'm not sure why, but Todd said he was available for tonight's game. So I assume he's going
to
go.
Now, the reason, unless it's another Nick, but, you know, he admitted to us that when he crashed in the boards in practice, he actually suffered a concussion. And that's what kept him out. And I think we can both agree that he's not sitting out the morning skate because he's fuzzy and then going to play at night, right? So it's either a completely different injury, and that's what...
Well, yeah, maybe he tweaked something, right? Bruised something or needed... I wasn't at the skate yesterday, which was limited.
He wasn't on yesterday, no. But there was, I think, like six guys on the ice yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So. Interesting. Well, you'd think he'd be one of the ones out there on both days, so maybe... Yeah, that's a little bit curious, and it will be interesting to see if he is good to go and healthy and ready to play tonight, and if everything is all good. And then, it definitely raised my eyebrow a little bit and to hear that he wasn't out there yesterday either. That says injury to me. Maybe he's just nursing something. So, but for a guy who's been hurt quite a bit lately, when you are able to skate with the team, you generally notice that they skate more and that they're out there more often to get more practice time in. So not really sure what's going on. I feel that his play has been okay. I think he's been skating reasonably well, and he hasn't made a huge impact, but I've liked his intensity level and his speed. So slow, small baby steps for him to work his way back into a game that's usable.
The Oilers tonight, Ryan, you look at Dallas and the weaknesses of that team in 40% of their games, actually 39.7, but I'll round up and say 40% of their games, they have allowed four or more goals. Four goals 12 times, five goals 10 times. The Oilers already scored five of them once, six goals four, and eight goals once. Like, this team can't defend. Their goaltenders are below average. You got to create a lot of chances, bare minimum. But tonight's a night where your offense should be scoring three plus.
Well, yeah, and they got quite a few on them last game they played, didn't they? Didn't they get five?
Yeah, McDavid had the hat trick.
Yeah, and if you look at their blue line, like, they've got a really, really young, really inexperienced blue line. I mean, outside of Dan Hamhuis, there really isn't a guy there that has a lot of NHL experience. So they're young back there and inexperienced. I mean, Issa Lindell is a good player. He's going to be a good player, but there's not a lot of experience there. Klingberg is just a couple years in here and not having the season that he had before. You got Hamhuis to stabilize things, but Johns, Nemeth, and Alexiak, they don't have much back there. And so for a group of Oiler forwards that are looking to get feeling it offensively a little bit, you got to force the issue with these guys. You got to put pucks behind them, get in, create some havoc, get their D-men running around a little bit. They should be able to exploit that blue line. The Oilers have enough speed, size, and skill up front. That should be doable by this group to make this blue line look as young as they actually are. Not to let them get into it, you know, not to give them a period and a half before they show them their best, to actually come out and give it, you know, get at it right away, to get them on their heels right away with a young group.
Ryan Rashog from TSN with us. Ryan, with that wanting to get the offense jump started, would you be in favor of moving Leon Draisaitl down to that second line to try to get him going?
Well, listen, I don't think moving him to the second line is an option. I don't think that Todd is McClellan's going to do that. If you listen to his comments yesterday and again today, both days he drew a circle around Lucic, Nugent Hopkins, and Eberle, and basically made it clear that he didn't want to mess around with that. So I don't think he's going to. I think he, and he all but said today, if a change is coming, it'll be tinkering with 3 and 4, is the way he put it. So what he means is a move for Draisaitl would mean a move down to the third line and some tinkering between those two lines. So the suggestion that was made to me by another member of the media was, what about Draisaitl as third line center, Letestu on the right side with Pouliot, and then you got Desharnais on the fourth line with Slepyshev and Hendricks or whoever's left. So maybe the game plan is to create a third line with Draisaitl in the middle and Mark Letestu on the wing, and with Pouliot there. Now, I don't know if that's what Todd McClellan is considering or not. I don't know. But I don't think he wants to touch the second line. So to your point, am I in favor of it? If they really believe that Draisaitl is tired, then they might have no choice. I don't think it's a good idea to take him off that line, because I think that line is the most dangerous look they have. But if they aren't comfortable playing him the minutes they're playing him, they have to get his minutes down, then they got to do one of two things. Either move him off that line, and then you can still play him at center, which will get his feet moving when he is out there, or start double-shifting McDavid on a different line to get him the minutes you want him and backing off of Draisaitl and Maroon's line minutes. So he's got a couple of choices. He's going to start with them together and then maybe see how Draisaitl looks. And if Draisaitl looks sluggish again, then maybe he makes the move.
Ryan Schaug from TSN joins us. Yeah, I think if a change happens, it's in game for them. And I'd be very surprised. I think if there was ever a night you want to keep your top line together, you do it against the second worst offensive team in the National Hockey League. And you go with the guys and the confidence to get there, because I honestly think Draisaitl is as much as frustration, maybe more so actually, than it is fatigue for him. He's a guy who's extremely hard on himself, has been for years, and he's in a little bit of a funk right now, and when he gets in a funk, he just looks lower.
Yeah, I would agree. I think when he doesn't have the feet moving, you know, he has a tendency, he'll get the puck 5 feet inside his own blue line on the breakout pass and start gliding and stick handling instead of just getting those legs going. And he's got a little bit of that creeping into his game right now. I talked to him today a little bit about the fatigue issue. And, I mean, he admits, he knows that it's been a lot of hockey for him, but he's also done a lot on the nutrition side, on the sleep side, on the being in shape side of things. Like, he's a lot better physically conditioned than he was in previous years. So he knew that was coming and got himself ready for it. He's in good shape, and he's not going to admit to being tired, right? It's just, I mean, yesterday when Rob Tichkowski asked him the question, and very fairly so by Rob, but I mean, you could see him roll his eyes. He was just like he did not want to hear it. Yet it's the first thing Todd McClellan talked about yesterday when he was asked about the dip in Draisaitl's play. So clearly there's something there. I'm not sure if McClellan is maybe shielding his player a little bit. I don't know. But if you look at the number of games he's played, the minutes he's played this year, then you consider Olympic qualifiers. I covered him in that World Championship, and guys, he did not look great in that World Championship. He looked tired there. Then he turns around and goes to the World Cup, and now he's played as much as he has this season. That is a heavy workload for a bigger man to sustain.
Well, he also played in August too, right? In the championships to get in for the World Championships this year, the qualifying tournament after they got knocked out in May.
Yeah, that was the qualifying I meant. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, he's played a lot of hockey. Fatigue might be a factor. A young guy, you'd hope it shouldn't be that much of a factor. I think it's a little frustration more than ever. The Calgary Flames, Anaheim Ducks, Oilers. Oilers, let's say they win tonight. Everybody is now within 1 point with 13 games to go. Is there one team you like more out of those three now to finish second and get home ice?
Well, I mean, the way Calgary's going, I don't expect that they're going to keep it up. But are they going to, when this streak comes to an end and when this unreal stretch that they're in comes to an end, are they all of a sudden going to lose 5 of 6? Or are they playing pretty phenomenal hockey right now and finishing as strong as anybody? And not, of course, they're not going to win every game, but are they going to keep up a pretty high level? And I'm not sure what the answer is. I mean, other teams have been on streaks this year. We've seen it. Didn't the Philadelphia Flyers go on a pretty significant run this year as well? And here they are, 6 points out of a playoff spot. So You know, I think I think it would be good for the Flames if they were able to finish this strong and hit the playoffs confident. I have a hard time saying that they're not going to. I mean, they've won 10 straight games. If you make me choose between Calgary, Anaheim, Edmonton right now, who's going to finish the strongest? I got to say Calgary just because of the way they're playing, I think. I don't see, like, the streak isn't going to last, but do you think their play is just going to all of a sudden go back to the way it was in November?
Yeah, well, I don't think they'd drop down that far, no, right?
I think you could see a drop, though.
Well, I think obviously you're going to see a drop. They're not going to win 10 straight again. I'd be stunned by that. No one's ever won 20. So I think there'll definitely be a drop. But what if they're 7-3? Right, that's still a drop, but that's still pretty darn good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know what the Oilers are going to do. I felt more confident in trying to predict what they were going to do a couple of weeks ago. And now it feels a little bit more shaky to figure it out. A few things have kind of come out from underneath them a little bit. And so you wonder now, is tonight one of those nights where they put their foot on it? Like they just stomp down on this one and then we're all going, yep, there it is. That's the consistency. That's an Oilers team that's different from previous years in their personality where they can grab a game by the throat. Will that be tonight? Well, it definitely sets up to based on the opponents. And can they put an exclamation point on this thing and start pushing Calgary and San Jose instead of worrying about St. Louis and Los Angeles?
Well, yeah, St. Louis is whatever. That's just for seeding. I think it's more about Los Angeles when you're talking playoffs. And L.A. 7 points back with 14 games to go. L.A., of course, takes Arizona tonight. So let's say both teams win. They're still 7 points back now with 13 games to go. You know, Edmonton could go 6-7. In their final, the LA Kings are going to have to go like 10-3.
Yeah, but if they take all those games against the Oilers, I mean, if they, like, those games, Edmonton, Los Angeles, those will be playoff games. Now, LA just lost last night to St. Louis, did they not?
Yes, they did, 2-1.
So that should have been a playoff game for that team. And it kind of makes you question how high a level they have to even hit. But the games against the Oilers should be like playoff games. They should be playoff caliber, playoff intensity. And, you know, the Kings have a lot of good veteran players that have been in these situations before. So, I mean, those are not going to be just gimme games for the Oilers. And you drop two or three to L.A., and all of a sudden their task of catching Edmonton becomes a heck of a lot easier. So those head-to-head games are going to be massive.
Do you think L.A. even has enough in the tank, though, to really, really make a push for it?
Good question. Yeah, I mean they're right. They're kind of the older version and a little bit slower. And yeah, that's. I mean, they are where they are. They're within striking distance. And you guys, I mean, it's not the same team. So I'm not going to suggest that this is something that they can do again. But I remember one of the most dominating performances I ever saw from a playoff team, start to finish, was the LA Kings in a year where they came in, I believe, as the number 8 seed of the West.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Doughty. It was Quick. It was Kopitar. It was, you know, I think they had Carter at that point. And they were dominant. So that group is a funny group. You know, it's like Daryl Sutter just kind of needs to keep it on the rails long enough to get him in. And then they've got, I mean, as far as Kopitar, Doughty, and Quick go, as, you know, your three pillars, regardless, forget what their years have been like. In a playoff series, how many teams can throw out a trio of cornerstone players like Quick, Doughty, and Kopitar? How many teams out there? Like, not very many, very few. So the Kings are one of those funny teams. And Daryl Sutter is a veteran coach. He knows how to steer this ship. And I'd have a hard time betting against L.A. with that kind of veteran presence. So I think they're going to make it interesting. I'd be surprised if they just completely fell off and went away and made it so that it wasn't close.
Yeah, I don't know. I those teams 5 years ago were obviously much different. I get Kopitar and Quick and Doughty and everything like that. But, you know, you got, I think McDavid trumps Kopitar right now. And the way Cam Talbot's played this year,
yep,
played better than Quick. The only difference is there's no Doughty in Edmonton. That's obviously a big mix in one. I think L.A. might make it look close, but I'm not sure LA ends up more than, if they're any closer than 6 points behind the Oilers at this point.
Well, I mean, I guess that you're working on the assumption that the Oilers are going to pick up their socks and start playing similar to the way they played before the All-Star break.
Yeah, because honestly,
if they do that, then you're right.
Yeah, I don't think the Oilers, the last week, I know they went winless in three. I don't think the Oilers played horrible in those games. Like, I've seen them play bad. I didn't think they played that bad.
No, they didn't.
Okay, but, I mean, so you can go game to game. Did they play good? Did they play bad? They've also won a lot of games this year where they didn't play great. Those kind of even out. The point is they've got three wins in their last nine games. That's not going to cut it coming down the stretch.
No, I don't. I also don't expect them to win three of their next nine.
Well, and that's my point, is that you know, you're assuming that they're going to get back to the kind of hockey that they were playing before, where maybe they win some games on some nights where they're not great. They find ways to win, and other nights they stomp a team because they're supposed to. Like tonight would be an example, and nights where they give the best teams in the league a good solid run, like they did against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So can they get back to that team with that personality? And I think that they can. I've said all along, I thought they would be pushing the teams ahead of them rather than fending off the ones behind them. Now, they've been in a bit of a dip here, and turns out I was wrong, at least in the short term. But what's going to happen from here on in? I just don't see the LA Kings disappearing. I don't see that. Now, I agree. They're all a little bit older, but I think they're experienced enough to keep themselves in it and to win some important games. So I think that the Kings will stay relevant for a little bit here, and they will force the Oilers' hand. I don't think the Oilers are going to be able to limp in to the last spot in the Western Conference. I think they're going to have to play their way and win their way in.
Shocker, we'll see you at the rink.
Okay, man. Yep.